Tonight we'll be reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and discussing Lord Chaitanya's interaction with Sanatana Goswami, particularly how their mutual association transformed one another. It will be very interesting to note how not only did Sanatana Goswami become transformed, but also Lord Chaitanya himself said that he was transformed by their dialogue and interaction. And in particular, we're going to discuss the transcendental quality of dainya, utter helplessness, utter humility, and how it manifests in both the ordinary way that we should readily appreciate, and the dainya also manifests in the most exalted way in the highest portion of the spiritual world. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. We will begin our discussion of this 2-month encounter between Sanatana Goswami and Lord Chaitanya in Varanasi. We'll begin in jail. It's often easy to forget that when Lord Chaitanya appeared with his associates approximately 500 years ago or so in West Bengal, there was political oppression and political subjugation. It's easy to forget that because Lord Chaitanya and his associates caused the radiant sun of pure Krishna bhakti to shine so intensely that we easily overlook the mundane realities of the time. And that overpowering radiance of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes shows you even today how indeed the spiritual solution is the only real solution to everything, economic, political, whatever. Just the fact that when you read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, you are focusing entirely on the most wonderful, pure, loving Vaishnava exchanges, and you're witnessing the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself demonstrating the highest levels of spiritual attainment. So, we are in jail with Sanatana Goswami. Why is he in jail? You know. He's so intelligent, smart, and shrewd that he would run the whole kingdom of the Muslim emperor. But Sanatana Goswami more and more began to simply listen to Srimad Bhagavatam from devotee reciters in the privacy of his own home, which he had designed to be a replica of Vrindavan. So he wasn't showing up for work, and the Nawab Hussein Shah became angry and put him in jail. So here you have this most exalted devotee of the Lord in prison. Just think about that. It is not that in the material world, everything always fits together perfectly. But devotees always make harmony out of any material circumstances because the devotees are focused upon Krishna and service to Krishna. And Sanatana Goswami does that so wondrously that you forget he was in jail. this most prominent person in our line, who in the spiritual world is known as Rukhi Manjari or Lavanga Manjari. And this person whom also Kavi Karnapur, the great devotee writer of Lord Chaitanya's time, says that Sanatan Kumar of the four Kumars also joined in to Sanatan Goswami to make his transcendental identity. This personality was in jail. And he received a message from Rupa Goswami. And that message is very mystical. Where has the Yadupati of Mathurapuri gone? Where has the Raghupati of northern Kosala gone? Thinking about all this and considering it deeply, make your mind steady and understand this universe is not eternal. Just by hearing that, Sanatan Goswami understood. This message means I should escape from jail. This is how brilliant he was. He immediately came to that conclusion. This means I should escape from jail and join Lord Chaitanya. This is the caliber of intelligence you're dealing with. Even when you look at that intelligence materially, it is far beyond the greatest IIT comprehension of today. So, Sanatan Goswami had to escape from jail using diplomacy. We were explaining in Vrindavan Dham yesterday or the day before how diplomacy is not an easy thing to use in Krishna's service, but Sanatan Goswami demonstrated its perfect and pure use. He called the jailkeeper over and said, "Don't you know? Someone who releases a person from conditioned life also becomes released from conditioned life by the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Now, he's speaking eternal transcendental truth, but he said it in such a way that immediately the jailkeeper got the right idea. Oh, you want to escape from jail and you're going to be offering me some incentive. Now, it is a fact that, as Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to that verse, the greatest service to be done for the Supreme Personality of God is to help someone to escape from material existence. And that person who gives that help becomes recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead for doing such a dear service. Sanatan Goswami added some spice to his presentation by stacking 5,000 gold coins on the table. And he explained that there's no need for you to be afraid of repercussions from the authorities. You can simply say that you took me to the bank of the Ganga to pass stool, and I just happened to jump into the Ganga with my chains on, and I drowned. So that will be your explanation. And furthermore, you can be sure, as a pious Muslim, you can be sure of what I'm going to do when I go about my way. I'm going to go straight to Mecca as a mendicant and make a pilgrimage. And then, watching the jailkeeper, Sanatan Goswami, as he was speaking, stacked an additional 2,000 gold coins there. He's using his intelligence for Krishna's service. He's using diplomacy, but this is pure bhakti. His intentions are to benefit everyone, even the Muslim jailkeeper. So the Muslim jailkeeper began to calculate. Not only could I be doing a pious activity, but I also get money too. So he let Sanatan Goswami escape. And then you know how Sanatan Goswami came at night to an inn. This is after his escape. He's accompanied by his servant, Ishan. And the innkeeper treated Sanatan Goswami so nicely. Oh, whatever you want. Consider this your home. Just laid the hospitality on very thick. But Sanatan Goswami, he is, after all, so shrewd that the Nawab Hussein Shah had put him in charge of his kingdom. So Sanatan Goswami, with that same shrewdness, began to analyze, why is this innkeeper treating me so nicely? My servant must have some money on him. So Sanatan Goswami asked his servant, by chance, did you bring any money with you? And the servant told him, yes, I only have a few gold coins. So Sanatan Goswami immediately said, give the money to the innkeeper. And when the money was given to the innkeeper felt very relieved. Oh, thank you so much for doing that, because you may not know it, but I had planned to kill you tonight and take the money. So you have saved me from a very abominable activity. And no doubt he's thinking, I also get the money too. This is what Sanatan Goswami is dealing with. He's empowered. He knows how to deal with Krishna's spiritual energy, with Krishna's material energy. He's demonstrating the pinnacle of Vaishnava Yukta Vairagya, using everything in Krishna's service. He's not shirking from living in this world as a bhakta. He's doing it most expertly. Sometimes people say, for example, in Australia, there's so many. I was explaining to Garanga Prabhu how so many Indian overseas students are going there now. It's the cool place to study overseas. So they all present this fear that we like bhakti, but isn't it so that if we get too much into it, we'll lose our competitive edge and we won't be able to function in the workplace? We won't be able to swim with the sharks. But Sanatan Goswami is showing you. He swam with the biggest sharks of all, and he's fully absorbed in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So he got away from the inn with the help of the innkeeper. The innkeeper said, I'll send you some men to guide you across the hilly tract of land at night. And then Sanatan Goswami went on ahead alone, and he happened to go by where his brother-in-law lived, Srikanta Sen. And Srikanta Sen could see him from far off. And then when he met him, he told him, look at you. You're dirty, you're unkempt. Stay at my house for 2 days, clean up, dress like a gentleman. Here, Sanatan Goswami shows his determination to engage in Krishna's service. He told his brother-in-law, I will not stay here for one moment longer. Immediately show me where is the Ganga, I'm on my way. He would let nothing slow down his meeting up with Lord Chaitanya. So he's showing how to use all your intellectual faculties, all your managerial skills, all your practical talents for the purpose of serving Krishna. So he arrives in Varanasi. Lord Chaitanya is there. And he's outside the door. And Lord Chaitanya tells his servant, there's a Vaishnava outside. Please let him in. Lord Chaitanya is the omniscient Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Vaishnava, I believe Tapan Mishra, he goes outside and comes back to report to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I didn't see any Vaishnava. All I saw was a Muslim mendicant. So Lord Chaitanya told him, all right, bring the whoever you saw, bring him in. So Sanatan Goswami enters, long hair, long beard, looking very ragged because he had been escaping through the forest. He couldn't go on the main roads. He's been going through the wilderness for several days to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what happens? Lord Chaitanya sees him come in, and Lord Chaitanya gets up, and he goes and he embraces Sanatan Goswami, crying with ecstatic love. And Sanatan Goswami also begins to cry with ecstatic love, saying, don't touch me, don't touch me. In other words, I am so fallen. I am so contaminated. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. I'm not worthy of this. But Lord Chaitanya continues to embrace him. And Tapan Mishra is watching as Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami shoulder to shoulder are just crying tears of ecstatic love. And then Lord Chaitanya takes him and he sits him on a raised platform next to him. And Mahaprabhu with his own hand begins to cleanse the body of Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami again protests, "Don't touch me, don't touch me." And what does Lord Chaitanya say? "I'm touching you to purify myself, because by the force of your devotional service, you can purify the whole universe." And then Lord Chaitanya would speak other verses glorifying the potency of a devotee. Tirti kurvanti tirtani. Wherever you go, wherever such a devotee goes, that is a place of pilgrimage. In other words, Sanatana Goswami is a walking tirtha. So, it was time for Sanatana Goswami to get cleaned up. Various Vaishnavs, Chandrasekhar Acharya, Tapan Mishra, they offered a new set of clothes, Vaishnava clothes. Sanatana Goswami turned down the new set. He wanted an old set of discarded cloth to make his attire. He shaved, he cut his hair. Prabhupada explains in the purport, Lord Chaitanya didn't like Sanatana Goswami's hippie features. And so Prabhupada said, similarly, in our Krishna consciousness movement. So he shaved, he cut his hair, he dressed in old cloth, and Lord Chaitanya was very satisfied with such renunciation. But Mahaprabhu kept looking at this valuable quilt that Sanatana Goswami was wearing, this quilt given to him by his brother-in-law, Srikanta Sen. You know, the brother-in-law who asked Sanatana Goswami, stick around for a few days, recuperate, dress up, become a gentleman, and Sanatana Goswami said, I won't stay here another moment. His brother had given him a valuable quilt. So Lord Chaitanya was looking at that quilt, and Sanatana Goswami got the hint. Mahaprabhu does not approve of this quilt. So he went and exchanged it for an old quilt, and he came back. And then Lord Chaitanya revealed the significance of that quilt. Now you may be thinking, what's the big deal about a quilt? Why was Lord Chaitanya focusing on that one thing? Lord Chaitanya explained to Sanatana Goswami, this quilt represents, or this quilt is your last remaining material attachment. By your getting rid of that quilt, you are now free of all material attachment. A good doctor, when he's curing disease, does not even leave a tiny bit of disease remaining. The cure has to be thorough. So, in this way, Sanatana Goswami qualified himself to receive Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And how did that mercy manifest? In a very interesting way. The mercy of Lord Chaitanya manifested in this particular instance in Sanatana Goswami's being able to ask the most wonderful questions to Lord Chaitanya. The questions were the result of empowerment by Lord Chaitanya. And when you read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can meditate on those empowered questions and hear Lord Chaitanya's answers, and you'll derive countless lifetimes of transcendental enlivenment. And of course, frequently Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami reminds you, by your paying attention to these questions and answers, soon you will certainly attain love of Krishna. So, we are reminded that Lord Chaitanya empowered Ramananda Roy to answer questions. Lord Chaitanya would question Ramananda Roy, and Ramananda Roy, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, would give answers. So much so that later, Ramananda Roy would explain, I'm just a puppet who's dancing according to the will of the one who's asking me questions. I'm just dancing according to his indication. He's empowered to answer by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and Sanatana Goswami is empowered to ask questions by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So then, Sanatana Goswami shows us the perfect example how to approach the Guru. He says, Nij jati nij sangi patita adama ku vishaya kupe pari goidainu janama. I am low born. All my associates are low class. I've spent my whole life at the bottom of the well of sinful materialism. I don't know what's good for me. I don't know what's bad for me. I don't know how to benefit myself. He said this while clasping Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet with a piece of grass in his mouth. Hundreds of years ago in India, that was the practice when you wanted to show your utter helplessness and humility. You would put a piece of straw or grass in your mouth and fall at someone's feet. So Sanatana Goswami did that, and he, in such a powerful example of dānya, presentation of utter helplessness, utter humility, he spoke these words to Lord Chaitanya. He said, people think I'm a great scholar. They think I'm a great pundit. And I'm such a fool, I believe them. But how can I be intelligent when I don't know who I am? I don't know why I'm suffering from the threefold miseries. If I don't know the answers to those questions, how can I do any good for myself? This is how he presented himself to Lord Chaitanya, teaching us so dramatically how to approach the disciple succession, how to throw ourselves at the feet of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and their representatives. Srila Prabhupada comments that in this utter humility and helplessness of Sanatana Goswami in his presentation, in this way, the greatest authority in Gaudiya Vaishnavism is showing how one can become fallen in this world because of bad association. We always have to be mindful of who we are associating with, how we are associating with the material energy. The nature of Kali Yuga now is that the material energy tries to seep in through so many different angles. Not simply friends, not simply family, but television, radio, internet, newspapers. You always have to monitor your situation and see how Kali Yuga is trying to infiltrate your life. And the greatest authority in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is demonstrating through his own portrayal, Nij jati, nij sangi, I'm low born, all my associates are low class, look at what happened to me. You see, from the material point of view, Sanatana Goswami was born in top class Brahmana family, Saraswata Brahmana line, but his associates were Mohammedan meat eaters. And so Sanatana Goswami is letting you know, even though I was not born one of them, because I associated with them, one way or another, consciously or subconsciously, I took on their qualities. I admit it. He doesn't try to justify it. Well, actually, I was associating with materialists, but it didn't bother me. I remember as a young devotee in Los Angeles, sometimes devotees who were unfortunately drifting a bit, and that problem can always be there because we are the marginal potency. We can take shelter either of the material energy or the spiritual energy. So they would say, we're going out into the material world and we will transform it. We will, just like Krishna did with the Keshi demon, he took his fist and pushed it down Keshi's throat. Similarly, we will enter deep within Maya and we will transform it. Sanatana Goswami doesn't speak like that. He says, Look at my example. I associated with materialists, therefore I became like them. I admit it. I don't try to rationalize it. I don't try to deny it. I accept it as a basic fact of life that you are whom you associate with. So Srila Prabhupada says, take this as a lesson. The greatest authority in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line is demonstrating to you how one becomes fallen in the material world. These are the glories of the Bhaktivedanta purports. Well, at the BBT, Srila Prabhupada explained to us that he said, actually, you know, anyone can translate. It's not a big deal to translate Sanskrit to English, Bengali to English. He said, but my purports, these are my devotional ecstasies. So he takes the great care to instruct us how association is not an innocent thing. According to who is around you, according to the influences coming upon you, that molds your character, whether you are conscious of it or not. So Sanatana Goswami takes this reality head on, and he presents himself to Lord Chaitanya in such utter humility and helplessness. Now you might recall the previous meeting of both Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Ram Kali. Lord Chaitanya was supposed to be going to Vrindavan, but somehow or other he went to Ram Kali, and there he met Rupa and Sanatana, and they had fallen at his feet with the straw in their mouth and saying, you are known as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the most fallen. In order for your reputation to be intact and true, you have to save us. If you don't save us, it's going to be a hard time for you to find anyone worse. But if you do save us, your saving glories will be known throughout the three worlds. And this is why they presented themselves in utter helplessness and humility to Lord Chaitanya. We are the most suitable objects of your saving mercy because we are the worst, without a doubt. So, Sanatana Goswami now is continuing that same dainya, that utter helplessness and utter humility in approaching Lord Chaitanya in Varanasi, and he's about to have clarified the constitutional position of the living entity. Who am I? And Lord Chaitanya is going to give first the sambandhagyan, the knowledge of who we are in relationship to Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya explains the famous verse, Jivera Swarupai Krishnera Nitya Das. You are the eternal servant of Krishna. But under the influence of the material energy, the conditioned soul forgets. And then, in contact with that material energy, the conditioned soul is impelled to engage in karmic activity. It's important for us to understand that there's nothing innocent about association with Trigunamayi. Associating with the material world means the three modes of material nature. They impel you to do things. It's not that living in the material world is a neutral phenomenon, that, yeah, the world is there and I am there. What is the problem? No. Maya is dynamic. The acharyas explain that Maya has two departments, avarenatmika shakti and prakshegika shakti. The impelling potency. Prabhupada once very graphically described the impelling potency. You're trying to practice Krishna consciousness and Maya roars into your ear, what are you doing performing bhakti yoga? Get out of there. It's powerful, this throwing potency. That's another way to describe that impelling department of Maya. Powerful enough to pick you up by your ears and throw you away, out the door. What are you doing? And then impelling you to engage in material activities. And the other department is the covering over department. Once you are hurled into the clutches of Maya, then the door is closed behind you and you're covered over it. To the extent that you think it's quite all right. It's not so bad. There are a few problems, a few dissatisfactions, but, you know, you just got to take it all in stride. Ride the waves, go with the flow. This is covering. The covering gets so deep and intense that you are satisfied to be any species of life, no matter how abominable. You think it's quite natural. This is the potency of Maya. So it is not an innocent thing to associate with the material energy in a casual way. Oh, the world is out there. I am here. I'm going about my affairs. Other people are going about their affairs. Some people believe this. Other people believe that. The main thing is just be a good person in your own way. And I think some of you heard one graphic story that a Sankirtan devotee in New Zealand told me. She stopped someone on the street to offer them one of Prabhupada's books. And immediately the person protested. No. I'm okay. I'm good. I don't need your books. I'm doing fine. And let me tell you why I'm a good person. I don't molest children, and I don't park in parking spaces for men for the handicapped. I'm fine. That's the standard of goodness in Kali Yuga. I don't do those two things. Therefore, I'm a saint. So, or perhaps I can give a local example to be impartial, you see. One gentleman I met in Australia, Sydney, Australia. He's from Mumbai, but he's an older man now living in Australia. He told me, Swamiji, I'm quite all right. Let me tell you, whenever I go home to visit my relatives in Mumbai, I'm driving in my car. Whenever I drive past a mandir, I always pause and offer pranams as I'm driving by. Swamiji, I'm fine. So this attitude that somehow or other the material energy can be mastered, it can be coped with, you can get things from it. Sure, there'll be a few problems, but if you're a real man, you'll stand up to those problems. Another example. One devotee at one of our preaching centers, she was a staff member there, and she's about 25 at the time, and her old friends from her uproarious days came to visit her, from the old party days and hedonistic days. And they were looking miserable, and they admitted, we are miserable. And they looked at her and said, you look so happy. It's amazing how happy you look. And we admit we're miserable. But we are better because we are honest. You ran away from the misery. We're sticking with it. You have done the inferior thing by escaping the misery. We are sticking with it, like a real person. This kind of delusion is the result of association with the material nature. And in your mind, you may think, oh, it's not such a bad thing. But Sanatana Goswami is pointing out to you, by using himself, although he's actually the most exalted personality from the spiritual world, he's using himself as an example. A dramatic example. I associated with meat eaters. I am one of them. Lord Chaitanya, people say, I am so intelligent, and I'm a fool for believing that. But just look at my situation. And so Lord Chaitanya explained to him how the Sambandhagyan, you are the eternal servant of Krishna. In contact with the material energy, this conditioned soul becomes overwhelmed and filled with fear. Vayam dutiya abhinivesha isharape tasya viparyaya smriti. Viparyaya smriti. That means in contact with the material energy, you become overwhelmed with fear and your position becomes reversed. Instead of thinking you are Krishna's servant, you think, I am Krishna's competitor. You're competing with Krishna for pleasure. Now, briefly, let us discuss this aspect of getting fear because of association with material energy. Because of the covering potency of Maya, we think it's just an innocent thing to contemplate the material energy, to interact with the material energy for our own pleasure. But the fear must be there. In other words, you can't just make a clear conquest in the material world without being hit with the fear also. The fear has to be there because everything in the material world is temporary. So you can't get your hands on real pleasure without getting fear. There's no such instance where you can get your hands on real pleasure. You must always, whenever you reach out to grab, you must always come back with fear. That is the very nature of the atmosphere. We should take very seriously this verse, often quoted by our acharyas. You become overpowered by fear in your efforts to lord it over material nature. That's just a automatic thing. It's the way things are set up. So Lord Chaitanya goes on to explain how the Vedic texts are Krishna's gift to the conditioned souls for regaining their memory. And from there, Lord Chaitanya proceeds to what is the goal of the Vedas. Vedaish cha sarvai aham eva veja. By all the Vedas, it is Krishna to be known. And Lord Chaitanya says, by Krishna, we mean the Paramarupa, Swayamrupa, the original form, Swayam Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As he reveals himself in Goloka Vrindavan, that is the goal of the Vedas. But before continuing further with overview of Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami, let's go back to that dainya, that utter helplessness that Sanatana Goswami demonstrates in his approach to Lord Chaitanya, that feeling of utter humility. If we look at Sanatana Goswami's own text, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we find a beautiful explanation of dainya, utter helplessness, utter humility. He has Narada Muni explain that throughout all the different stages of bhakti, from the neophyte level to the advanced level, there's always the ornament of material indifference. That means indifference to material desires. That ornament's there at all stages. But at the root of bhakti is the dainya, the utter helplessness and utter humility. Now, the discussion goes further, that the dainya, the utter helplessness, leads to Krishna prema. But then, when the Krishna prema expands, it leads to more dainya. And the more dainya or utter helplessness leads to even more Krishna prema. In this way, things are constantly escalating and going to higher and higher levels. Now, along the way of this explanation, Sanatana Goswami tells us that sometimes people misunderstand dainya or utter humility to mean, for example, someone who might say, I'm so fallen, Prabhus, I'm so helpless, I can't follow the regular principles. I'm just so fallen. I'm just so useless. In utter humility, I tell you, I can follow the principles. Or, Sanatana Goswami says, it could be that someone says, out of utter helplessness and utter humility, I just can't do any devotional service. I'm just too fallen to do service. For some reason, Krishna won't accept any service from me. I just can't get motivated to do any service. I'm so full in Prabhu. No, Sanatana Goswami says, this is not dānya. He gives a very amazing definition of true dānya, true utter helplessness and true utter humility. He gives the definition that true dānya means you feel completely incapable and completely lowly and fallen while everyone else sees excellent attributes in you. Amazing. Everyone else sees, you're doing so wonderfully, you're serving Krishna so nicely. Meanwhile, you're feeling, I'm completely incompetent, I'm completely useless, I'm completely low. Sanatana Goswami says, that is dānya. Not that someone has no devotional enthusiasm or someone can't follow the rules and regulations of devotional service and they say, oh, Prabhus, I'm fallen, I'm utterly useless. No. The feeling of utter uselessness and incompetence is there while all the other Vaishnavas are seeing the excellent attributes. This is dānya. This is quite amazing. But then Sanatana Goswami takes it even further. What is the highest manifestation of dānya? Utter helplessness, utter humility. He explains that is shown at the top level of the spiritual world. In the most intimate pastimes of the Lord, when Krishna leaves Vrindavan for Mathura, then you see the pinnacle of dānya manifest in Krishna's most intimate associates led by Srimati Radharani. You see the topmost expression of dānya, how these dearest associates of the Lord are hit with feelings of such helplessness and uselessness because Krishna has gone to Mathura. So Sanatana Goswami explains it in that way so that we can see the whole unified range of dānya, utter humility, from sambandhagyan, understanding our constitutional position in relation to Krishna, all the way to priyojana, life's ultimate goal. We can see how the dānya, the utter humility and helplessness, shines radiantly at every stage of bhakti. Sanatana Goswami is showing it in his approach to Lord Chaitanya. And the most intimate devotees of Vrindavan are showing it in their lamenting when Krishna is gone. So in this way, we can see how important this quality is and how it has increasingly powerful manifestations. So we'll go back now to Lord Chaitanya's discussions with Sanatana Goswami. He begins to describe the various avatars and expansions of the Supreme Lord. He gives an overview of all of Krishna's expansions, incarnations. If you want to see the technical avatar science, then you wait for Laghu Bhagavatamrita to be published by the BBT, God Brother Gopi Pranadana Prabhu. That is hardcore avatar science. All the details are there. So Lord Chaitanya, though, gives a quick overview in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he happens to describe the yuga avatars, how Krishna appears in every yuga. And he says, Krishna appears, Krishnavarnam, Tisakrishnam, Sangopangastra Parshadam. Krishna appears in the age of Kali. He's golden. He chants Hare Krishna. So Sanatana Goswami is listening to all this. And remember, he is described to have the intelligence of Brihaspati, the priest of the demigods in the heavenly planets. So after Lord Chaitanya describes the Yuga avatar for Kali Yuga, Sanatana Goswami asks him, once again, can you say something about that Kali Yuga avatar? How is the incarnation for Kali Yuga to be known? And Lord Chaitanya answers matter-of-factly, incarnations are always known by the Vedic Shastras. There is the Srupa Lakshana, there is the Tatastha Lakshana, there are the main essential characteristics, there are the secondary characteristics. That's how you tell any incarnation. It is not by some kind of arbitrary system. No, the shastras are the key. And so he explains to Sanatana Goswami in that way. This is how you tell who's the incarnation for the age of Kali. And so then Sanatana Goswami again says, you say the incarnation for the age of Kali is golden, and he's always chanting Hare Krishna. I just want to be sure about that. Could you kindly clear away any doubts I have? At that moment, Lord Chaitanya says, let's speak about Shakyavesh avatars. You change this avatar. So, the explanation is that, you see, an incarnation of God never says, I am God. He displays his godhood by his activities. So Lord Chaitanya, by his silence, indicated to Sanatana Goswami, you're right, but I'm not going to come out and say that. I like the way Srila Prabhupada explains Lord Chaitanya's response when Sanatana Goswami made that second attempt. Isn't the avatar for Kali Yuga golden, and doesn't he always chant Hare Krishna with the associates? Oh, Srila Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya was thinking, oh, he's trying to catch me. Change the subject. So, then, Lord Chaitanya moves on to discussing the opulences of Lord Krishna. It is not true that Lord Chaitanya would just discuss Krishna's sweetness in the intimate Vrindavan, the Braj Bhava. He also discussed Krishna's opulences, the power, the might of the Lord of Vaikuntha. And in fact, he allowed the descriptions of Krishna's opulence to absorb his mind and senses. He entered into what Kaviraj Goswami calls the Aishvarya Sagar, the ocean of opulence. And all his mind and senses, they entered into that, and he became perplexed in transcendental ecstasy. So he talked about Krishna's opulences for some time. But then, because he's Krishna in the role of Krishna's dearest devotee, as the more he talks about Krishna in terms of Krishna's opulences, the subject matter of Krishna causes his real colors to show. And as the love of Krishna escalated in him, the Krishna Madhurya, the intimacy of Krishna's confidential activities took over his mind. And he began to describe Krishna's flute playing in Vrindavan and the responses of the Brijbasis to Krishna's flute playing, Krishna's personal bodily beauty, and the effects that seeing Krishna's bodily beauty, the effects upon the residents of the spiritual world. And then, after speaking like that about the Krishna Madhurya, Lord Chaitanya catches himself and says, why am I talking like this to you? I never intended to speak about these things to you. I intended to talk about something else, but I see that Krishna wanted me to reveal the glories of his flute to you. So I said these things, but I didn't intend to. So here you see how Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is revealing, I'm affected by my devotee. I didn't intend to speak these intimate things, but because of the presence of the devotee and the will of Lord Krishna, I spoke like that. So you see, it is a two-way street, reciprocation. Lord Chaitanya is showing how he's influenced by the devotee, and the devotee is showing how he's influenced by Lord Chaitanya. Remember, Sanatana Goswami and Lord Chaitanya standing shoulder to shoulder, embracing one another and crying tears of ecstatic love. This is the mutual transformation. So, Lord Chaitanya admitted, because of you and because of the desire of the Supreme Lord, I spoke these intimate things. Next, Sanatan Goswami said, I've heard that at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you gave so many different meanings to the famous Atmarama verse. I would like to hear those. And Lord Chaitanya said, I don't exactly remember what I said, but in your association, I'll try to say something. And it, whatever I say, it will be because of your presence, because of your sangha. You see, once again, the dynamics of spiritual perfection. There's always reciprocation, the Lord and his devotees. That's why later in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami says that love of Krishna, pure love of Krishna, is like a pool of ecstasy that both the Lord and the devotee dive into together. So you see that pool of love of Krishna, and then you see both the Lord and the devotee together diving into that pool of love of Krishna. It's reciprocation constantly. And Lord Chaitanya is showing that in his dealings with Sanatana Goswami. So, then, after Lord Chaitanya reveals many, many more explanations of the Atmarama verse to Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana Goswami begs for empowerment. He says, you've asked me to write a book about Vaishnava behavior. That'll be the Hari Bhakti Vilas. I can't do this without your empowerment. Please, put your feet on my head and say to me, let all I've instructed you be manifest in your heart. Do that for me, please, so I can write this book. Lord Chaitanya puts his hand on his head and says, indeed, let all I've instructed you be manifest in your heart. This is why in the Upanishads it is stated, yasya deve prabhakti yata deve tathagata tasyaite kattita yata prakashante mahatma. To one who has implicit faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the spiritual master, all the meanings of the Vedic literature are revealed to such a great person. Great because the person has done that. Implicit faith in the Guru and the Supreme Lord, prakashante mahatmana, all the meanings of the Vedic literature become revealed. It is not by mundane scholarship. So, now, Lord Chaitanya says, and we'll conclude with this part. I have thus explained 60 different meanings, and all of them aim at the service of Lord Krishna. After giving so many examples, that is the only meaning, the service of Lord Krishna. Now, due to your association, another meaning has awakened. It is due to your devotional service that these waves of meaning are arising. Now just see the nature of bhakti, this eternal stimulation between the Lord and the devotee. Lord Chaitanya is revealing it quite clearly. Because of the association of this devotee of Krishna, waves of transcendental meanings of the Shastra are arising in me. This is why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Machatama, Kataprana, Bodhyantap Parasparam. When my devotees come together and glorify me, Tushyanti cha, Ramanti cha, I get great satisfaction and bliss when the Vaishnavas come together and share realizations about me. Of course, we see that here at Chaupati Temple, Radha Gopinath Mandir. The management always arranges that the Vaishnavas, when they're visiting, they together speak about Krishna, and that gives Krishna pleasure. And you can practically feel that the ocean of Krishna realization is being churned. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tushyanti cha ramanti cha, I get great satisfaction and bliss seeing my devotees talk about me and share realizations about me. And Lord Chaitanya is showing Krishna's instructions in action. He's showing the satisfaction. He's showing. Sanatan Goswami, you're pushing me to higher and higher heights. I'm coming up with newer and newer meanings. So then, Sanatan Goswami, after he hears all the meanings of the Atmarama verse, he falls at Lord Chaitanya's feet. And he tells Lord Chaitanya, you are the original knower of Bhagavatam. Other than you, no one else can understand Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada gives us a helping hand. He explains. In other words, he says, do you know what this means? When Sanatan Goswami says that Lord Chaitanya, he says to Lord Chaitanya, you're the original knower of Bhagavatam, that means only someone who follows in the footsteps of Mahaprabhu can actually understand Bhagavatam. But Lord Chaitanya, in response to Sanatan Goswami, saying, you are the only knower of Bhagavatam, he says, why are you glorifying me? You should understand the transcendental position of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why don't you consider that important point? And then he speaks further about the supreme nature of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he concludes with the presentation of ecstatic love of Krishna. He says, I'm like a madman. I explain the meanings of just one verse, the Atmarama verse. I don't know who will take it seriously as evidence, who won't. But let me tell you this. If you become a madman like me, you can also understand the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam by this process. This is Lord Chaitanya clearly explaining you can't understand Bhagavatam materially. And ultimately, Bhagavatam is an ecstatic rasa scripture saturated with love of Krishna and separation. And if you want to understand it in full, you have to become mad like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, these are examples of just a few of the unlimited aspects of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Lord Chaitanya's monumental meeting with Sanatan Goswami. That meeting and instruction covers five chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Kaviraj Goswami, Jai Sisi Radha Vinath. Sanatan Goswami, excuse me, Kaviraj Goswami says, it's not possible to describe it all. You can only just touch one drop. So I'll stop here. And should I ask for questions or what should happen next? Or time for kirtan. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Glory to the Prabhupada.